Okay, I have something in my bag to show you. And could you tell me who might wear a cap like this? Who might wear it? Yes, Daniel. Soldier, very, very close. Yes.
A band
might wear one like that. That's right, yep. I was in a band for years and my hat actually was very like that. Any other guesses? Yes. An army leader? Close again, we get close. Jonah? A policeman. If you look at a policeman now, he'd wear a hat like this, although his badge now would be different. It's an old, for the older folk, an old RUC cap. And this was what a policeman would do. Now, a wee question for you. If you were really, really bad and I was a policeman, okay, what would a policeman do to you? What might I do if you're really, really bad? Yes, sir. Put you in jail. And what would he do before he put you in jail? What's the thing you call it? What police do? Yes, David. That is right. Let's figure on a picture. And this is called to arrest you. That's what it means. They'll put some handcuffs on you, and he will take you away in the police car and take you away to the jail, and then they'll decide whether maybe you have to go to court or that, and whether you might end up in prison if you're really bad in that. But that is what a policeman does. He arrests you to take you to jail. And we're going to think today about how somebody was arrested who had done nothing wrong. And we're thinking about the Lord Jesus. And for a number of weeks, boys, here in church, we have been thinking about the last week of Jesus' life. And Jesus, we learned last time, he spent an evening in a place called Gethsemane. It was like a garden, because he wanted to pray, because he knew he was going to die on the cross very soon. And just after he finished praying, we see in the next picture, along came one of his disciples called Judas. And he had some soldiers with him and loads of other people with him as well. And now, Judas was Jesus' friend. And Jesus says to Judas, "Friend, do what you have to do." And for several years, boys, Judas had traveled around with Jesus. He had preached about Jesus being the Savior. He had even done amazing miracles to Judas. But now he has come to do something really bad, to hand Jesus over to be put to death. And he had arranged a signal, boys. We'll click on the next picture. He had arranged that to show the others the person who he would kiss would be Jesus, the one they were to arrest. And Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you going to betray me with a kiss, which is a sign of love and respect?" And he was getting cross to Judas that he was doing something really bad. And there was a problem with Judas, boys. The problem was that outside, and what he did, he looked like a friend, a follower of Jesus. But inside in his heart, he didn't love Jesus. Indeed, he hated Jesus. And we had to be really careful, boys. Going to Boys Brigade, coming to church, going to Sunday school are all good things to do. But doing those things doesn't mean that we love Jesus. The Bible tells us we're born with hearts full of sin, hearts which actually hate God, hearts which don't want to love Jesus. And the Bible says our hearts have to be changed by God's Spirit. We have to be born again if we're going to go to heaven one day, boys. So our hearts inside have to be changed by God to become people who love Him. So it's not enough just saying prayers or learning our Bibles. Those are good things. And trying to be good people. Inside, we need to be changed. That bad heart of sin has to be replaced with a heart of love. And so there's Judas. Outside, he looked good for so long, but inside, he hated God. Now, along with Judas, there came a great crowd, we see in the next picture. And there were so many of them, and they probably all felt so brave together, this really large crowd, only coming against Jesus and his few disciples. But Jesus wasn't scared, boys. Jesus knew he was going to die, but he wasn't scared. And Jesus said to this great crowd, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus then said, I am. And we see in the next picture, the soldiers stepped back and fell down in front of Jesus. When he said those words, I am. Because in the Bible, boys, we learn that Jesus used that word, I am, quite a bit. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And he wasn't just saying those things. That word, I am, those words, I am, was a very special name for God in the Old Testament. Now, the Anchor Boys will know the answer to this question. What is that boy's on the front of the pulpit there? Can you tell me, you learned, think about this the other night. Who is that? It's Matthew. It's the burning bush. And you remember when Moses was at the burning bush, Moses asked God, what shall I say your name is? And God said, I am who I am. That was God's name, I am. And by saying his name is I am, he's saying, I am who I am. There's no one else like me. I'm far greater. I'm far more wonderful than anyone else. There's no one to compare with me. And so when Jesus said to these soldiers, I am, for a moment, boys, it was coming across them that Jesus wasn't just a man. But Jesus was this great God, the God who Moses met at the burning bush, the God who made this world, the God who's far greater than we can ever imagine or think. This God was before them, was Jesus. And for a moment, they realized they had to fall down because he was so wonderful. And boys, that's why we have to worship Jesus. That's why we have to worship God. He is so great. He's so big. He's so wise. He's so loving. He's so wonderful in every way. And he came into this world as a little baby to grow up to be a boy like you and then to be a man. And he came to be a man who would die for our sins. And Jesus then said to the soldiers as they were before him, he then says to them, do what you have to do. He had to sort of talk them into keep going what they were supposed to do. And then they would take him away. But at that moment, one of Jesus' disciples, we see in the next picture, a man called Peter, he wasn't going to allow this. Peter pulled out his sword, and he decided that he would protect Jesus. He would defend Jesus, and he waved the sword, and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, a man called Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, put it away, don't do that. And we see in the next picture that indeed he touches the servant's ear and it's made better. Jesus hadn't come to fight like that. Jesus was willing to die. He didn't want to run away. He didn't want to be rescued, boys. Why did he have to die? Because it's the only way, boys, that you and I could be saved from our sin. This great God, remember who Jesus is? The great God who made this world, the great I am, the God who met with Moses at the burning bush. He came into this world to go and die on the cross because it was the only way that we could be rescued from our sin. Peter was trying to fight a battle with a sword. That wasn't the way he should do it. Jesus hadn't come to fight a battle like that. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I could call now 12 legions of angels. That is 12,000 angel boys with great swords. He says, I could call them down to fight against these people. I could call them down to kill every one of these people who's come to arrest me. But that's not what I've come to do. Because Jesus, boys, had come to die to save us from our sins. And let me just say a wee bit to the leaders and a wee bit to mums and dads about this. Peter was making a mistake in that he was going to fight a battle with physical weapons. And it should be our longing that these boys will come to know Jesus, will follow Jesus and be in heaven one day through coming to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. But how does that happen? It doesn't happen with physical weapons. It doesn't happen just by shouting at them or just by being cross with them and things like that. Or we need to use the weapons of Jesus. Spiritual weapons. And there's three great weapons we should use, whether leaders or parents, for our children to come to love Jesus so they'll be in heaven one day. The first weapon is prayer. We need to pray for our leaders. And for the leaders here, you need to pray for the boys. And pray that indeed they will come to know Jesus. That's one of the most important things to do as leaders, to pray for these boys. And mums and dads and all of us who know Christ, we need to pray for these boys. The second great spiritual weapon is the Word of God. We need to teach them God's Word and bring them to Sunday school, to church, and bring them to BB and other organizations where they learn the Word of God. And teach it at home. That's so important that you teach it at home. Maybe you're not used to it, particularly the Gospels. Read Mark's Gospel with the boys. Great stories about Jesus. Read a wee bit every night if you haven't been doing that. Read the Bible with your boys. Great story Bibles as well you can use. So prayer, God's Word, and the third great weapon is a life like Jesus. Holiness. See, these boys need to see Jesus in us. There's a man years ago, and boys, there's a man who was a great preacher. And you know what he said? He said, people needed to see Jesus in dungarees. Dungarees is what workmen would use. And he says, people need to see Jesus in their everyday life of other people. So those are the three weapons that these boys are going to know Christ. We need to pray. We need to teach them God's word. We need to be example of Christ to them. That's what these boys need. And boys, when you come to BB, you need to understand, you have leaders who pray for you. And they teach you God's word because we want you to come to know Jesus. And I hope you see in your leaders and me, I hope you see an example of people who love Jesus and are seeking to follow him. And so here was Jesus. He wasn't going to be rescued. He wasn't going to be taken away. We see in the next picture, his hands were bound and probably no handcuffs in those days. Probably a rope was put around him. And although he was the great God who could have struck down all these people, he allowed himself to be taken, to be beaten, boys. We were thinking about that in the junior section on Friday night, about how Jesus' face would then be beaten. You couldn't recognize it being a human face. His back was whipped. The crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was nailed to that cross. And he could have stopped all that. He could he was God. He could have done anything. He could have struck those soldiers dead. But he allowed himself to do that. Why? Because it's the one way, the only way, you and I can get to heaven and be saved from our sin. Not by being good, not by being religious, not by doing our best. Only Jesus can take us to heaven. And that's why, although he was God, he allowed himself to go to the cross in order to save us from our sin. Let's say we pray together, boys. Father, we just thank you for the love of Jesus. And just as we have learned today from the story of his arrest, help us not to be like Judas, who on the outside looked good for so long, but inside his heart was not right with Jesus. Oh Lord, help us indeed to understand that Jesus is the great I Am, not just a man, but God. And help us to understand that he came to that cross so that, gracious God, that we could be rescued from our sin. Give every boy here, give every girl, give every mum and dad and granny and grand and everyone who's gathered in here today that grace to trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.